until the house of God will praise. When it happens, amen, the praises of his people, amen. And when God hears the praise of his saints, he wants to work, he wants to move. Amen. So right now we ask God to move on the word and to move on our hearts. Amen. So that we can receive the word of God. Amen. Because it is able to save our souls. Amen. Do we know that? Amen. Praise the Lord. So we're going to greet our pastor with a hearty praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. Julie, how many are willing and free this morning?
Amen.
I'm so glad that Jesus set me free. Amen. We bless the Lord. We thank God. Amen. We continue to pray for those that are down in Hurricane and Tornado Alley from Florida on up. Amen. I was speaking to someone earlier this morning. They said, if people never realize it, the time when the Lord was coming, that they ought to realize it now. Amen. They had to hurt the whole, Gulf Coast, Gulf area had. They had an earthquake in Mexico City that was 8.1. This is the second largest in their history. Then right due northwest of that, northeast of that, they had Houston that was completely devastated by Hurricane Harvey. And then if you go directly across from Mexico City into Florida, what now is being decimated by Irma. So it's like a triangle there and the whole Gulf. Amen. So we don't know what the Lord is doing. And I did speak to one of the bishops that's not too far from that, that's in Alabama. He said, him and his wife were talking. He said, the Lord is trying to wake people up. How many know God is trying to wake us up? Amen. This is devastating. Amen. And one of the television reporters said, the storms and the catastrophes that are taking place are of biblical proportions. They come only related to things that are happening in the Bible. So if the world can say that, how much more should the church be awake? Amen. So we just bless the Lord and we continue to pray for them. And amen. We know that God is trying to awaken his people. And it's so important that we don't allow secondary things to take the preeminence over the most important thing that is well with our soul. How many glad today obviously say it's well with my soul? Come on, how many can say it's well with my soul? Amen. We thank God. We thank God for my wife. We thank God for all of you. Give yourself a hand praise. You didn't have to be here. God, we have to be here this morning. But we serve a mighty good God. Amen. We just Pastor Parker sent me a text last night. He said, tell everyone that helped out yesterday at their event. And he said, thank you, thank you, thank you. Amen. He said, thank you for all the support. And it takes big churches working together.
Amen.
Take churches working together. The Bible said, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It surprises me how many churches want to be isolated. Well, we shouldn't be isolated. We should all be together. Amen. So we're going to ask you to stand for our scripture reading today, which will be coming from Genesis chapter 31. We're going to read verses 1 through 9 initially, and then we will delve into more of the scripture today. As I said, my desire is more so than the shout is to make sure that you have an understanding.
Amen.
Amen. Many times people come and shout. Paul said, bodily exercise does what? Profit and little, so we can shout. But if it doesn't get down in our souls, I believe you miss it. Right, so it's more to church than just a shout. It's more to church than just to feel good. Amen. But when we leave church, we should be able to say, it is well with my soul. Well with my soul. Jesus said, what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and lose his soul? And he said, if you don't understand that, the other question is, what can a man give in exchange for his soul? And I believe today many are exchanging a lot of things for their souls. Their souls are set there. But your soul is the most important thing that you own today. Amen. Your soul is the part of you that will live on forever somewhere. How you live here determines how you live later. This ain't living. Because that devil is how you will remain throughout all eternity.
Yes, sir.
And we just bless the Lord. So let us go to Genesis, the 31st chapter. Do we all have that?
Amen.
First one reads, and he heard the words of Laban's sons, saying, Jacob had taken away all that was our father's, and of that which was our father's had he gotten all this glory. And Jacob beheld the countenance of Laban, and behold, it was not toward him as before. And the Lord said unto Jacob, return unto the land of thy father, and to thy kindred, and I will be with thee. And Jacob sent and called Rachel and Leah to the field unto his flock. And he said unto them, I see your father's countenance, that it is not toward me as before, but the God of my father has been. Lord, we bless you. Wherever you go, just make sure God is with you. Can we say
amen?
And your father has deceived me and changed, and you know that with all my power I have served your father. And your father has deceived me and changed my wages 10 times. But God, Lord, bless your name. Amen. He can let anybody do anything with him. He can just say, God is with me. He said, but God suffered him not to hurt me. And if he said this, the speckle shall be thy wages, then all the cows bear speck. And if he said thus, the ring straight shall be thy hire, then bear all the cattle ring straight. Thus God has taken away the cattle of your father and given them to me. And the angel of God spake unto me in a dream, saying, Jacob. And I said, which means I'm present. have roll call. And then roll call, you can say, President, I'm here. Well, that's just a informal recognition that I'm here. That's poorly. But then the here am I is not an informal recognition. That is the Hebrew word he and they. And that means, Lord, I'm here at your disposal. Lord, I'm answering to a divine call. Many of us is able to answer to the human call with, here I am.
When you respond healing, it is most often used
Hallelujah. Also, he and I is not only expressing the place where the person is physically, but it implies completely being in the presence of God. Amen. A lot of times we say, well, I go to church and I say, God, I'm here. But how many of us can sincerely say, I'm surrendering to the presence of God? Because in his presence is the fullness of joy, and in his right hand are pleasures evermore. And the scripture says, God inhabits the praises of his people. So here they give a sincere praise to God. For the Father seeketh such to worship him, they that worship him in spirit and in truth. Number five, here is the reply of total surrender. Amen. It's easy to make a partial surrender, but when you respond like this, this is total surrender. Can we say total surrender?
Total surrender.
It's also total dedication to what God is requesting. So when we respond to the divine call of God, well, he and I are, he and I, you say, Lord, at your disposal. I'm sincerely responding to your request. It is the scripture that also expresses readiness to give yourself in total availability. And I wonder today, how many of us say, Lord, whatever you need, I'll do. Lord, wherever you send me, I'll go. Just like Isaiah, the Lord said, whom shall I send? He said, who will go for me? And Isaiah said, here am I, send me, Lord. That's when the enemy becomes the complete you. You say, Lord, if you're availability, you send me. No matter what the end I have, Lord, send me. Lord, no matter what sacrifice you have made, Lord, send me. I know I might not be qualified, but if God be with you, God will qualify you. Can we say praise the Lord? This is marks a complete turning point in the lives of those who respond to the Amen. So when you respond to God, you say, Lord, go on around here, but let thy will be done. Amen. Remember Jesus in Matthew, the 26th chapter, when he knew that his hour was come. The scripture says, he told his disciples, he said, you rest here a little while. He said, I'm going to go over here and pray. Well, why was God going to pray? He said, because I'm about to go through something right now. I'm about to experience something right now. If I just sit here,
you
But y'all people got this new saying, right? That new saying. I ain't too familiar with it. I just had a kid share. I'm you do you. Right? They don't want to hear that new saying, do you? I guess, but I'm gonna see all the new lingo. Somebody sent me a message with this TYT. I was like, what was that? It's a long way to be named Jesus. I ain't used to that kind of shorthand. But I'm telling y'all, y'all send me stuff, don't send it. I don't know what that is. If you send me stuff, I have to go take it to my wife.
Yeah.
brother in law, look at you. You know what I mean? You don't want to give up at all. You don't want to give God what you want.
Yeah.
Now let me ask you the seventh question, and then we're going to get back to Jacob. Question number one is this. Where are you at today with God? Where are you at? You know, we can always put somebody else and tell them where they are. But where are you at with God? And this afternoon, if God is calling you, what is your response? God is calling somebody else, but God is calling you. What is your response? That's question number one. Question number two, is God calling you to make a special sacrifice? And if we put it another way, what item has God asked you to sacrifice? What is so close and so important to you that you're putting it before God? So what is your special sacrifice that God has been asking you to make, but you won't make? What's your special sacrifice? What's that one thing that's stopping you from having total surrender to God? Number three, is God calling you in the midst of your desperation because someone has mistreated you, abused you, and have cheated you? Is God still calling you to say, "He and I"? Is God saying, "Don't respond to what's been done, but just do what's right before God"? How many know people are going to mess up and say all kinds of stuff about you? Like old song said, "Talk about me as much as you please." But guess what happened? The more you talk, I'm going to. All right, the answer is been my name. Right? People are talking about you whether you live godly or not. They've been talking about me ever since I was a child. When I was real, I don't even know what you're talking about when I was real. Find where you go.
Yes.
They define where you live. They define what you drive. I'm going to tell you, I can drive anything I want to drive right now. I can live anywhere I want to live right now. But I choose to make a sacrifice for God. I told you all years ago, a company tried to hire me making $90 an hour, and that was over 20-something years ago. Now, they wanted me, but I didn't want them. Because my greatest calling was not for the money.
It was for God. So one of the ladies that I used to know, she said, "Son, I don't understand you." She said, "You could have said, yes to the job answer of God." I said, "I don't believe that." Right? Because you can't allow people to define who you are. If I wanted to, like I said right now, I could be wherever I wanted to be. When I surrender it all, I said, "Be a man."
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Tell them to try to hold you.
live for God. Be honest with God. A lot of people have thought, if you read about Jude, the book of Jude, give the illustration somewhere in here, Jude's only one chapter. But Jude says, men have men's in admiration for a game. In other words, Jude said, you just trying to kiss up. Maybe that's a term y'all said. I don't know the terms. Y'all put in the right terms. A lot of times I finish my kids, are gonna be dead. It's messed up all the time. I mean, both the kids up, kids down, move. I just mess it all up. But it says, men have men in admiration for me in the book of Jude. If you turn your back on God, anything you get is not a blessing. Well, you don't know why I live, you don't know what I cried, you don't know what I have. You can have all that if God takes you out. You understand what I'm saying? So stop whatever it is to me and make you stand for God. Amen? One, two more questions. Has God been calling you if you have not completely discerned his voice? God is calling you. But you don't know the voice of God. So every time God calls you, you run to a man or to a woman. Or to someone in leadership and say, hey, God called me and I'm trying to ask for. Listen, if God calls you, he knows how to answer, give you the answer to the call. If God calls you, he knows how to give you the answer to the call. Somebody said, God's been dealing with me in my heart. I just can't do it because I just can't get the mind of God. Ask. The Bible says, ask and ye shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall. Say that any man lack wisdom. Let him ask of God to give it to all men. Wait, literally, that means God will hold on to that. So if you ask, he will give you everything you need to answer that question. But it says, don't you ask in faith, nothing wavering. You can't come ask God in doubt. Say, well, God asked you, but I don't believe you can do it. God said, you know what? You ask me to do it, I ain't going to do it. Until you ask me the right way. He said, you anyone that asks it will receive it, unless you ask amiss. You can't trick a fool God when you ask him. All right, let's get on. The seventh question is this. Has God saved and anointed you? Has God placed a special call on your life? Has God called and anointed you? And has God placed a special call on your life? And in receiving that call, can you say, hear me? Or would you say, pull me? Hear me means, here am I, and I am incomplete. I'm not holding back. You know, a lot of times we make our decision based on what we think we're going to lose. If you lose everything and have God, guess what? You have everything. God forbid if you keep everything else and lose God, you have nothing. All right, let's go back here. Let's go back to Jacob for just a short moment. After we read Jacob, but let's not go to Jacob. Let's go to Paul in Philippians, the third chapter. We already read Jacob. God told Jacob to go back to his father's house and to his land. If you read that, it said, as Jacob went, his father-in-law Laban got angry because Jacob left. And Laban purposed in his heart, I'm going to go and bring him back, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that. And the scripture said that night, the angel of God appeared to Laban. He said, when you catch that little Jacob, he said, don't you do nothing to him. He said, don't you do nothing good, and don't you do nothing evil. He said, you just leave him alone, right? And when Laban finally told him, Jacob, he said, I purpose I'm going to do some stuff to you. He said, but the angel of God stood by me last night. He told me, don't do nothing good. Right? When you make your stand for God, even when the devil purposes to do something against you, you can't do it. Why? God will stand between you and the trouble. Amen. So Philippians
3:4, Paul gives, in the 4th verse, Paul gives his testimony, or he gives his resume about all that he was, how he was raised in the Jewish religion, how he, when he said concerning zeal and persecuting the church, he was the greatest. He said, I was circumcised the 8th day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew, of the Hebrews, as such in the law, he said, I was a Pharisee. Amen.